Okay, so if last week was splitting hairs, this week is not. This week is a very fundamental sugya in many sugyos in Shas, both fascinating conceptually, but also very practical halachically. Though it comes out of not so many lines here in our Gemara. But the Rishonim have a field day throughout Shas. So let's try. Okay. So, if we go down to, where was it? Yeah. So we're in the middle of all these different things that you can do in Yom Tov. So about one, two, three, four, five, six lines before the wide lines. Ba'amine.
Ravashi,
right? Yeah, Ba'amine Ravashi. This is like, if you see the Tosas in Mechaben, it's like halfway. Parallel to like the halfway point. So Ba'amine Ravashi me'amimar. So Ravashi has to me'amimar. Ma'al l'chol ad ayin b'yom tov. Heicha di'ika sak... that's the question. Ma'al l'chol ad ayin b'yom tov. Are you allowed to apply a medicinal salve to the eye on Yom Tov? The Gemara says, "Heichad ika sakana kagong rira diyatsa dama dimasa vekadachta vetacheles uchla lo mi bayli dafil b'shabes shorim." If there's a danger to life, so then it's fine. Right? It gives a whole list of wonderful examples of diseases that could happen. They could be affecting you and affecting the eye. If it's a danger, even on Shabbos, it would be mutter. That's obviously. Ki, call me Barley, what am I asking you? Sof uchla, o pitsuche eina mai. So Rashi says, Shakarov le hisrapa, suve eino, kocha lahagia oro. So if you're at the end of the healing process, so it's no longer a sakana, there's no longer a danger, but you're putting on the salve to make it easier to see, so you can see better, right? Lahagia oro in rabbinic Hebrew, right? To increase the light, to improve the light that's coming to your eye. So what's the halacha? So Amarlei, also he says you can't do it on Yom Tov. Why can't you do it on Yom Tov? Because as we know, there is a gzeira against refuah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, just to get our terms straight, right? Because this is no matter how many times I think about it, it is, from a modern perspective, one of the most confusing things that exists. The issur against medicine on Yom Tov is asur because of Shrika Samamanin, because you might grind the medicine. That's not even what gets confusing for me. What's confusing for me, maybe other people don't find it confusing, is that who does the prohibition apply to, right? So it doesn't apply to someone who's a cholashi yeshbo sakana, right? If his life is in danger, so pikuach nefesh docha Shabbos. But, and here's where I always intuitively am about to say the next thing wrong, is it also doesn't apply to a chol she'ein bo sakana, right? If you are a sick person who's not in danger, you're also allowed to use medicine on Shabbos. What it applies to is a bari, right? Someone who is healthy. Now, why is somebody healthy taking medicine at all?
One more category.
Exactly, because there's a category called mechush, which is someone who doesn't feel well. Now, someone who doesn't feel well in halacha is called healthy, even though he doesn't feel well. Right? So a chole is someone who, in halacha, is nofel lemishkav, which literally means he's in bed. But as Rosh Hashanah notes, what that probably means is he doesn't function normally. So if someone is not functioning, right, he has such a migraine that he can't open his eyes. He has sensitivity to light. He just can't walk around. He can't listen to things. So then he is nofel lemishkav, and then he's allowed to take medicine. It's only one step below that, where someone is just not feeling well, but he's still functional, that you can't take medicine on Shabbos. So if you're in that state, so the Gemara says, even on Yom Tov, it's aser. So the Gemara says, why is it aser? How could that be? Ein mechaben is a bikad v'shani l'kedash shenin. And all the questions that we saw, right? Shouldn't this be mutter? Blah, 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 blah. It depends on whether you're passing like Rehuda or the Chachamim in terms of machshiri yochol nefesh. So then the Gemara said, but ameimar shorin l'mikoleina minochri b'shabata. But even though you can't put the salve yourself, and this is where it's important, a non-Jew, you are allowed to have a non-Jew put the salve on Shabbos. And Ikadamri, and some people tell the story that ameimar gufei kachaleina minochri b'shabata, that it once happened to ameimar, and he in fact had a non-Jew apply this salve to his eye. So Amrle Ravashi la Meimar. So Ravashi said to a Meimar, my daitach, why do you think it's that it is a mutter? The Amr Ula Braidir of Eloi called Sarchola Osin Al Yudei Nachri Bit Shabbos. Is it because Ula had said in the name of Eloi that anything that a sick person needs can be done by Nachri on by non-Jew on Shabbos? Amr Rav Havnuna called Avar She'ein Bo Sakana. Anytime there's not a danger, Omer LeNachri VeOseh, that you can tell a non-Jew to do. He said, is that why you think it's mutter? Because you think that even though it's prohibited...
Is science saying no chometz?
No chometz.
So, there's chometz. No, there's chometz. Right, yeah. Anyways, so he said... So he says to him, we're still in the Gemara, though. Right, he says... Well, so what do you think? You think that it's mutter to have a non-Jew put the salve on your eye because you're always allowed, for any that even though you're not allowed to directly do something medicinal on Shabbos, you're allowed to have a non-Jew do it for you. But isn't that only, Hani Mili Hechad Lo Messiah Behadei? Isn't that only when you're not helping? Because then the non-Jews do it by himself. You're not doing it. But here, you're helping. Why? Avomar called Messiah Bahadei, they call Amitsu Pasach. Right, to get the salve in your eye, you gotta do this, right? You gotta blink it in, right? So the non-Jew puts it in, but you gotta do the hard work, right? You gotta, keep your eye open, right? This is the hard, putting the drop in every time you have a drop in your eye, right? Putting the drop in is the easy thing. It's keeping your eye open as that thing is about to hit your eye, right? That psychologically is very hard. And then you gotta blink it into the eye, right? You're doing the work. Dika Amitsu Pasach. So isn't that usher? Because it's not considered the non-Jew doing it, it's considered you doing it. Amar lei, ikar b'zvid, dekoy kavaseich, v'shani lei, misayei yoin b'ma, meshiz b'zvid. Right, held this way at all, right? He had the same question, but he came up with an answer, and that is misayei yoin b'mamesh, that merely helping someone do something is halachically irrelevant. Doing it yourself is usher. Helping someone else do it is halachically irrelevant, right? If you look at Rashi, Misha'ena osa malacha mamish. If you don't do a malacha yourself, ela misayeh mad, you just help a little bit. Ki'ai, like in this case, uvelav hu misavda. Without you, it would have been done anyways. Ein bo mamish. It's not, right? It's not significant. V'hachi amar b'secha Shabbos, and we learn this from the sugya that we'll see in just a moment, in Shabbos, ba'matsnia, gabezeh, Yachol v'zeinu, yachol chayev v'sheinu, yachol pater v'yafakav d'mon v'sayi v'hadei, v'sayi v'ein v'o mamesh. That if you have a case where one person is able to do the malacha by himself and one person is not able to do the malacha by himself and he helps, but the one who's not able to helps the one who is able to, even though he does make it easier for him, right? We all know that even if one person theoretically can carry the couch by himself, I don't know how that's possible, I can't, but right, even if he can carry it by himself, it'll be easier if someone else is balancing the other side. That is halachically insignificant, and therefore, if they carry it out that way into Rishus HaRabim, so they would be exempt in that case. Okay.
This doesn't fit into our broader definition of Ochel Nefesh?
Well, that was the Gemara's assumption. No, because, right? Well, that was what the Gemara swallowed, right? Was, doesn't it fit Ochel Nefesh? No, it fits Ochel Nefesh according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it's a step removed from Ochel Nefesh, and therefore it's Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, so according to Rehud, it'd be Mutter, according to Chum, be Aser. Right? Because it's not quite, because it's... Because
they don't hold it to Ochel Nefesh.
Right, because, you can see, right, but it's making it easier to see, and that's... not enough to be Ochel Nefesh Mamesh, it's like Machshirin. I agree that it's a bit weird, right? Meaning, I think most people would say seeing as best as you can is Ochel Nefesh, but I don't know if historically this would change, right? Meaning, if you think about it in the time of Chazal, so if most people by the time they're whatever age have glasses, because your eyes deteriorate over time, and in the time of Chazal they didn't have glasses, right. So then it was normal for people to slowly not see the world, right? So a little bit better, a little bit worse, right?
Or in darker shades, because
in darker shades, or
never really,
or whatever. I don't know. Would it be different nowadays, where we all expect to have basically 20/20 at all times? I don't know.
Depends also on the medication, right? Because if there's certain medication that's getting better, but it's laying up, but
you need
to say,
take a whole course, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that's the famous Heter Shlomo Kluger, is that if you're taking a if you're in the middle of taking a medicine and you need to take it every day, including Shabbos, in order to not have, you know, whatever, in order to not allow the bacteria to become resistant or whatever, then it's mutter. Yes, that, you know, presumably that's not the case here.
They didn't
hold a Shlomo Kluger, right? Or whatever, also possible.
Which were you saying that the melacha was, could have been done by one, but two made it easier? Is that patur or mutar? Like,
so now we move to the Gemara, right? This is the beginning of it, but this is like, you know, this is like a tiny little sugya, but it causes so many problems when you compare it to the main sugyas that the Rishonim just, in all of Rishas, they just don't know what to do with themselves. But it's an extremely halacha l'maisa question, because before we even get into the lamb, just to give you an idea of why this is so halacha l'maisa, you think about the type of things that this deals with. You know, if someone is not short of pikuach nefesh, right? Someone is in a state of whatever cholera or something like that, okay? And they're in the hospital, right? And they need to get an X-ray, okay? It's not pikuach nefesh, but it really should be done now. So the guy is doing the X-ray, but you have to walk into the, you know, whatever it is, CAT scan, MRI. You have to walk into the room. You have to put on you have to put on the whatever the, you know, X-ray proof thingy, whatever it is, right? That's misayaya, right? That's presumably, right? It's like this, right? You're like opening your eye and closing your eye, right? That's misayaya. Is that considered a goy doing it and therefore would be mutter because it's a goy doing it for a chola on Shabbos? Or is because it's not pikuach nefesh and you're misayaya, right? Therefore it's also, right? For medical things, I just asked for Richard Chiner. I'm like, what sugya does this come up in? So he said, medical imaging, and he's like, medical imaging, micropigmentation, right? Because it has questions of, right, of tattooing, right? If you are, there are all types of shilas, right? If you, if they're, you know, doing reconstructive surgery, and part of it is a tattoo, but you're asleep, but you allow them to put you to sleep, right? So is that considered the guy doing without your knowledge? Is it considered you doing it? All types of, right, medical shilas come up with this, because they're essentially misayayas, maybe. Okay. So that's just, you know, we can talk about some of the practical, but first we've got to figure out what the principle is here. So this Gemara tells us, misayaya ein bo mamish. And as Rashi tells you that the sugya comes from is this impossible sugya in Shabbos. Yeah, it's not actually impossible, it's just almost impossible. Just trying to figure out what's going on is very confusing because it touches on way too many taro sigist for my comfort. But okay. So Amar Mar, ze yachol v'ze eino yachol divrei hakol chayiv. Okay. If you have one person who can carry the couch and one person who can't carry the couch, and they carry into Rosh Hashanah, so everyone agrees that he is liable. So the Gemara says, "Haiminayu mechayiv." Which one of them is liable? So, what type of question is that? Amar of Chizda says, "Sheyachal." Obviously, the person who is capable of carrying the couch by himself, so he's the one who plausibly is considered having carried the couch from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, or vice versa. The izesh sheinu yachal, because if it's you're talking about the person who can't carry the couch, my COVID, right? What was he doing in the end of the day? So Amar Le Rav Amnuna, the Messiah Bahadeh, he was helping the other guy. Amar Le Messiah Ein Bo Mamish. He said, don't worry, helping doesn't count. Helping is nothing. Okay, freeze that just for a moment. This Gemara is a bit, just those two lines are very strange, right? The case, right, again, you have, right, Gerard being as strong as Gerard is, he can carry the couch from his house out in Tirshas Harabim by himself, but I'm being a nice guy, help him carry it, right? So the Gemara says, well, when we carry it out, somebody is chayev. So the Gemara says, who's chayev? So the Gemara says, presumably, Gerard's chayev, because he could have done it by himself, and therefore he's considered carrying the couch from Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Tirshas Harabim. I was just helping, but I couldn't carry it by myself, so you can't plausibly look at me and say, I was the one carrying it.
You're doing nothing.
Right. So that's what Gemara says. Messiah and Bomamish.
So you're opening the door for him. Forget carrying it.
No, so that wouldn't be anything because then you're not helping with the malach. Oh. It had to be, right? If you're helping before, presumably, then we'll see that's not totally clear. But that is nothing. But though we call that Misayeya also, and that's going to be really complicated, but I'm leaving that really to the end. That's source. That's source 28.
You're Misayeya him
when? Yeah, I'm actually helping him carry.
But he can carry himself.
But he could have carried himself. So Gemara says, so I'm just making it easier. What?
But he doesn't need you.
Yeah, so.
Oh, so, okay, you're making it lighter.
Right, I'm making it easier, right? It's, he could do it.
You're lifting what you can lift.
Right? Right, exactly. I mean, he could carry it, but, like, it's still easier when you have two people, right? You know, like, so the Gemara says, well, somebody's chayev. So, the strange thing is that the Gemara said, who's chayev? So, as Rav Chisda said, obviously, the person who can carry it. What, you think the other person's chayev who can't do it? So, what was even the havamina? Like, why'd you bother asking the question, who's chayev? Of course, the person who's capable of carrying it is chayev, not the person who isn't capable of carrying it, because what is he doing, right? He's not really carrying it. Someone else is carrying it. He's just helping. So, the Rajba, in his third answer on this Gemara, says in the Hanami, there was no such havamina. No one ever thought that the person who is incapable of carrying the couch is chayev. The only question is only the person who could carry the couch by himself chayev, or both of them chayev? Right? Meaning, clearly, the person who could carry it by himself is chayev. The question is, the person who makes it easier, is he considered helping out enough that it's called carrying, and therefore they're both liable?
So it's not a rhetorical question.
Correct. That's the way the Rajba understands it. But the Rajba and the Ramban quote the Moshe Bar Yosef, the Rambi, who says, no, maybe there really was a Havamina. Right? Maybe there really was a Havamina that only the person who can't carry it would be chayev. Now, what's the logic for that? That seems to make no sense. So Moshe Bar Yosef says, well, it might make sense because of the following. Gerard could have carried the couch all by himself, right? But now I'm helping him. So what does that mean? He's not using his whole energy, right? Because if he had carried it by himself, it would take all his energy to carry it, but he could have done it. But now I'm coming and I'm making it easier. So now this is a breeze. He could have done it by himself, and now I'm carrying it, right? Me, on the other hand, I'm exhausting all of my effort just to, right, carry, right, what I can, right? So maybe the Gemara... What?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Maybe you're using a little bit of your energy to help.
Right. So Moshe Bar Yosef says, well, maybe, right, since the person who, the weaker person, right, is now exerting himself as much as possible to get halfway, right? Let's assume they're both essentially carrying half the weight, right? So now the person who could have done it by himself is exerting half the energy he needed to, right, or half the energy he could have. The person who can't for the life of him carry it by himself is exerting everything he can to get to the halfway point, right? So Moshe Bar Yosef said, maybe that's the suffix. Who's chayev? The person who is doing the actual work, or the person who's putting in the higher percentage of his energy, right? The Rashba hates this. Rashba's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about, but anyways, that's what Moshe Bar Yosef's havamina. But okay. At any rate, the Gemara rejects it. And the Gemara says, no, obviously the person who could carry it by himself is chayev, because the other guy is only what's called misayeya. And as our Gemara says, misayeya ain bo mamish.
Yeah. I don't think the havamina is that they're both shutras in this thing, and both should be chayev. Like, wouldn't that be the havamina? The logic would dictate. There was one effort, that effort consisted of two people, therefore both would be chayev.
They're both doing it.
Right, so I cut out half the Gemara. The Gemara before this has a pasuk for this, right, which is, but I don't want to get into the whole local Shabbos issue.
Two people do a malacha on Shabbos, and they're both potter.
Well, right? No. So the Gemara before this, right before this, has a three machlokes, right? The Gemara says, ba'asosa, ba'asosos kula, ba'asos chetzia, right? In order to be chayev, you need to do a whole malacha. But then the Gemara says, what does that mean? So there's three possibilities. One possibility is that in order to be chayev a malacha on Shabbos, you need to do the malacha by yourself. And therefore, even if the normal way of carrying a couch is to have two people carry it, it doesn't matter. Unless one person does malacha all by himself, he's pater. Right? That's one shita. We don't paskin that way. Right? At the other extreme, you have the possibility that no. Only if both of them could have done it by themselves, right? They're carrying a pen. Both of them could have carried the pen by themselves, but they choose to do it by carrying together, so then you're potter, because as some of the Rishonim say, I'm oversimplifying it because it may not be true, but some of the Rishonim say, because it's essentially klachar yad. Since on Shabbos you need to do malach in a normal way, it's not a normal thing to carry a pen between two people because both of you are capable of doing it, and then you're potter, right? The middle case, which is complicated, is what if one of the people could have done the malacha by himself, the other person couldn't. So therefore, from the vantage point of the person who couldn't have carried it, the only way for him to carry the couch is by getting help. But the person who could have done it by himself, this is weird, right? So then that's where you have, right, that's the middle one.
Are you missing a case where you had the couch and it, neither one could do it by themselves?
No. So then they're chayev, right? Then everyone agrees. No, not everyone agrees they're chayev. One shita says, even in that case, you're potter, right? Because you need to do the malacha by yourself. But most shita, the other two shita, say no. Ze eino yachal, ze eino yachal, chayev, because then it's the normal way to do it.
So if you apply that to our case here, then it makes sense that both are chayev.
Maybe, right? So there's three data in the Gemara. One says anytime two people do something, you're potter, even ze'eino yachal v'ze'eino yachal. The other shita says, right, then another shita says, no, only b'ze'eino yachal and ze'eino yachal are you chayev, but if either of them is yachal, right, so then they're both potter. And then there's the split, right, what if, right, can you split it between the yachal and the eino yachal? So we're building on that shita, right, is the split, where ze yachal, ze eino yachal, right, that, divrei hakol, but it's not actually divrei hakol, because it's subject to machlokas previously, but let's say divrei hakol, chayev. So Gemara says, who's chayev? So one of them is chayev. So, okay, fine. Now, there's a big diyun in the poskim, whether shnayim shesa'uha, right, when two people do a malacha, that exemption is a local halacha for Shabbos, or is a rule in Kol Terakula. The simple understanding is that it's a rule in Kol Terakula, as the next line indicates. Because the Nebgaran then says, Amar Ibzvid, Mishmei Dirava, Af Ana Nami Tanin, let me teach you the Misayeya, right, which seems to be related to Shnayim Shesu'a, because it's building on that Sagya, but I don't really want to get into Shnayim Shesu'a, so I'll leave it. But this notion of Misayeya in Bomamish, I have a Mishnah which proves it. What Mishnah? So here we go. Hayayoshev al gabe hamita v'arba talio tachad raglay hamita. If you have a zav, right, okay. So a zav is metame, anything that he lies down on, but only if it's supporting him. So let's say you have a bed, which has four pieces of clothing tied around each of the four legs of the bed. So then, tmeos. They're all tame, b'pnei she'eina yichol olam v'ral shalosh, because since the bed would collapse with only three legs, so then it's ze'eino yachol v'ze'eino yachol, right? And therefore, all four legs are supporting the zav, and therefore it is tame. But Reb Shimon mitaher, because Reb Shimon, who was the shita in the previous part of the Gemara, who said that it doesn't matter, that you're always, it's never a malacha if two people do it, says, in this case, even though you need all four legs, it doesn't matter, since not a single leg can be said to carry the zav by himself, it is tahor. Hayarochav aga behema. The same thing is true if the zav is riding on an animal. V'arba taliyot tachad raglei behema. And there's four pieces of clothing under the legs of the animal. So then, tahoros, they are tahor. Why? B'mnei sheyachol olam v'ral shalosh. Because it can ride on three legs. I mean, think about how it walks. Just like we walk, you can walk on one leg, meaning by definition you do, right? You don't shuffle, right? You pick up one leg. Your body can be supported at any given time by one leg, at least temporarily. Therefore, it is tahor, because each of the legs, right, is not actually supporting, right, the zav fully, because the animal could stand on three, and therefore the fourth leg is not actually necessary. The Gemara says, Vahamai. Why is that true? Because even if the animal could stand on three legs, it is standing on four. It's standing still. All four legs are helping the zav stand, and therefore the piece of clothing tied to each leg is helping the zav sit, right, or stand, or whatever, on the animal, and therefore they should all be tamei. So, lav mishum damrin misayeya ein bo mamash. So isn't it because we hold that helping doesn't count? So Amar Rav Yehuda Midiskarta, Rav Yehuda Midiskarta said, no, lo lameim l'chol misayeya, yesh bo mamash, meim misayeya is significant. V'shayin yacha, da akra lo legamre. The cave into Zimna Akra, ha, the Zimna Akra, ha, the Havik is Amizbach. So Gemara said, maybe, So he said, maybe here it's different because there's a moment when the fourth leg isn't supporting the Zav at all. So the Gemara says, so what? Right? it's walking, which means each leg is going to, at some point, be up and some point be down. It's like a zav hamisapech. And we have a Mishnah that says that milotnan zav she'emutal chamisha safsalin. If you have a zav that's rolling around on five benches, all chamesh pundot laorkan tmei and the rochvan taurin. So the Gemara, okay, you know what, I'm going to summarize this. The Gemara gets through a whole bunch of complicated cases, right, of exactly how we configure this case. But the Gemara, in the end of the day, assumes, right, however it explains it, that the principle that emerges from this Gemara is Mesayeya Ein Mo Mamish, right? That any time, just like by Shabbos, the same thing is true by Zav, any time you have multiple stands, whether it be the legs of an animal, the legs of a chair, the legs of a bed, that they all need to be supporting the Zav, so then they are, any piece of clothing tied to the bottom of those, you know, bed legs or tame, because they each are essential to support the zav. Anytime one of the legs is not necessary, so therefore it's parallel to two people carrying the bed, one of which is insignificant, so then the pieces of clothing on the bottom of the bed will be tahor, because none of them is really responsible for carrying the zav, because since they're dispersing the weight in a more dispersed manner than is absolutely necessary, right? It's not called supporting the Zav, it's called Misayeya, and Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. Okay, did that make sense? I hope that made sense.
Sure.
Should I try it one more time? Try that one more time?
I got it.
Okay. Right, they're sharing the pressure, and it unnecessarily. Meaning, right, if it's necessary, so then it's tame, right? Meaning, if you're sitting on a chair, which if you take away one of the legs, it will collapse, so then all four legs are equally responsible for supporting the zav, and therefore they are tame, right? Or the clothing tied to the bottom of them is tame, right? If it's a three-legged chair, right? It's a triangle, and it really could support itself, and then you shove a fourth leg on it, right? So now, none of them are absolutely necessary, because you could pull one of them away, and the chair wouldn't collapse, right? So at that point, that's each leg is called misayeya, right? Because they're not absolutely necessary, and therefore misayeya ein bo mamish. So you have both the Gemara in Beitza and the Gemara in Shabbos, which assume this principle that merely helping do something when you're not absolutely necessary is called misayeya, and that is halachically insignificant. But then you get a Gemara in Makot. The Gemara in Makot number 2 says as follows: Tani Tana Kameder of Chizda. Echad hamakif, echad hanikaf, loke. There's a prohibition to cut all the five corners of the beard with a blade, or the corners of your hair, right, the peyote. And the halacha is by this prohibition that you're chayev, whether you are the one who's cutting the hair or the one whose hair is being cut. So amar le, manda achel, Damri ba'arbila laki, damr l'chamani, Rabbi Yehudi, damr l'avshen ma'maizah lokin alavis. He said, how could that be, right? If someone was basically being fed something, could he get malchus? Meaning the point is, the guy who is not cutting his hair, whose hair is being cut, isn't doing an action. So how could he be chayiv? What do you mean you're going to get malchus for having your hair cut? The normal rule is you don't get malchus unless you actively violate a law, right? So the Gemara says, don't worry, it's Rabbi Yehuda. So Rava Omar, no, maybe it's been makif la'atzmo divrakol. Maybe what we mean is that someone who cuts his own hair, because then he's chayiv twice, once for cutting his hair and one for having his hair being cut, because then he's having his hair being cut through a maisa, so he's doubly chayiv. And the third position is Ravashi. Ravashi Omar, no, b'misayeya v'divrakol. No, if Reuven is shaving Shimon's hair, but Shimon helps him, right? Like he, you know. Yeah, you know, like when you go to a barber, right? Can you turn your head to the left? Can you turn your head to the right? Look in the mirror, right? Whatever he's doing. If he is Misayeya, so then both Reuven and Shimon will get Malkus for cutting his hair. So all the Rishonim look at these Gemaras and say, wait a second. The Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Beitza tell me Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. Then when one person is the primary actor and the second person is the subsidiary actor, the subsidiary actor is not halachically significant. And here, Rav Ashi tells us, and this is how we paskin, if you look at number 3, right, Gam hanikav chayev im siyeya bedavar shemata atmo elav lahakifo. the one whose hair is being cut is liable. He gets malchus if he helped by turning his head this way or that way to help him cut his hair. Even if he didn't help, it would be usher, but he wouldn't get malchus. Therefore, you can't even have a guy cut your payout against a halacha. So all the rishonim say we paskin this way. In the case of hair cutting, we say misayeya yesh bo mamish, that if you turn your head and help the barber cut your payas or cut the corners of your beard, you are chayev. So which is it? Is being the subsidiary actor by helping someone else perform a malacha on you or perform a malacha, is that halachically significant? Is that halachically insignificant? Right? Which is it? And then there's one more gemara, which is a gemara in Erchen, which goes like this follows. And this is also a bit confusing, but okay. Tanoihi. There's a machlokes. Tanoihim as follows. Detanya maisa b'shua ber chananya shaholach l'sayeya b'hagafas delosos eitza r'yochanan ben gudgida. Rishua ber chananya once went to help close the doors of the Beis HaMikdash with r'yochanan ben gudgida. They were both Levi'im, obviously. So Amar lo b'ni, so he told him, my son, stop. Chazor lecharecha, turn around. Sha'ata min ha-mishorim, velo min ha-mishorim. You're not allowed to help me close the door because you're a singing Levi, and I'm a door-opening Levi, which, please God, will be my job in the Beis HaMikdash. I do not want the singing position. That would be a disaster. So the Gemara says, my lav b'ha kamiflagi. So aren't they arguing about whether there's an Isser Misa involved and therefore Xer Drabanan? I won't get into the detailed issues of what's going on that. So give but Marsa Azharahi Vilogazurba. So the Gemara says, no, this is what's key here. Dechule Alma Azharahi, everyone agrees that this is an Isser. Without a chimisa, Mar Savar Misayeya Gazubi Rabbanan, or Mar Savar Lo Gazubi Rabbanan. But Rabbi Yeshua Bar Hananya thought that Misayeya, right? Because he's not actually opening the door by himself, which would be usher, because the Levim have to keep to their own jobs. So for a singer to open the door would be usher, but he's not singing. He's helping the door opener open the door. So the first position said that Misayeya is usher midirabanan. The other one said, no, Misayeya is not usher midirabanan, but it's clear that it's mutter midaraisa, right? So we have the Gemara in Beitza and Shabbos, which say Misayeya is, well, at least in Beitza, Misayeya is actually mutter. In Shabbos, it's patur, but presumably asur. In Erchen, it's patur, and it's a machlokes, whether it's clearly patur, it's a machlokes, whether it's asur or mutter, right? And then in Makot, you're chayev, right? So is Misayeya yesh bo mamish, and you're chayev? Is Misayeya ein bo mamish, even midirabanan, or is it ein bo mamish midaraisa? But yes, midirabanan. Yeah.
All the other issers before the helping close the door were daraisa things.
This is also daraisa.
It's actually daraisa that jobs in the Beis HaMikdash Levi'im when singing.
Yes, so the singer cannot do it. It's a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim. Yeah. Yeah. Or well, then that's the Gemara's question: exactly how much you chay? But yeah, it's an issur daraisa for a Levi to help another Levi. In a job that's not his own.
So there's somewhere in the Torah that it...
Yeah, it's a fascinating sugya. Rav Rosenzweig wrote an excellent article on it in Zeved Tov, the volume in honor of Rav Harlap, who should live to 120. He's already, what is he, 95? But whatever, I don't know what he is, 95. But, you know, when he retired officially, which was like, I don't know, a few years ago.
It's written in the collective bargaining agreement for the Levi'im.
Exactly.
Can a person be Messiah by not contributing, but just not resisting?
So, is that possible? Okay, so hold that thought for 1 second. Now let's suggest the possibilities, right? We have a Gemara which implies Messiah ain't bo mamish, Messiah yesh bo mamish, maybe derabanan yesh bo mamish. How do you deal with the stira? So,
the cases are the same.
Okay. So one possibility is what you said is that there are different types of misayeya, right? Maybe they're not the same. Why? Because, right? Well, what would be the easiest, right, way of distinguishing between yesh and ein bo mamish? Right. So one way is to say, well, it depends how much whether you're helping, right? If you're totally passive, ein bo mamish, right? Which is the conclusion of the Gemara in even in Makot, right? The Gemara said Misayeya yesh bo mamish, but only if you're helping actively, right? You're turning your head, but if you're just sitting still, it sounds like that's ein bo mamish.
But by sitting still, you're helping.
Right, even though, and yet the Gemara implies that would be a misayeya she'ein bo mamish.
Passively.
Right, so one possibility is, yeah, there's two types of misayeya. There's passive misayeya, which will always be insignificant, and then there's active misayeya, which will be always significant. Now, what's the problem with that? The problem with that is the Gemara in Beitza. Because the Gemara in Beitza says misayeya ein bo mamish, but what's the guy doing? He's contributing. He's opening and closing his eyes to allow the drops to go in. So that seems to be an active misayeya. Now, how could you get around this? Right? How could you maintain what you just said and say, no, the misayeya is only a problem if it's active and not passive, and yet read our Gemara in Beitza, right? How could you say that our Gemara in Beitza is passive? Because right? That's what you have to do to defend it. Right? What would you say?
Movement is not... Why? It's a reflex.
It's a reflex, right? So you skip, because you said it, I'll skip. You look at 10, that's what Shittim Gubetzet says. The Shittim Gubetzet says, V'hacha, afa gavdol efshar l'michal elab da'amet to pasach. Even though it's impossible for him to get this eye salve in unless you open and close your eyes. Mikol makam lo mucha milsa d'v'lav kochol nami urchal mametu miftach. It's true that you happen to be blinking it in, but you were going to blink eventually. It's physically impossible to go that long without blinking. And therefore, even though technically you're doing something, it's as if you're not, because blinking is such a natural thing that therefore it doesn't count, right? Because, right, it doesn't matter if you're blinking it in. If you didn't blink it in now actively, 5 seconds later you were going to blink anyways because you were blinking. Right, v'hasam b'makos, e'efshar b'lo siyua chaveiro v'nirag miskavin l'sayo. As opposed to the haircut, right, you know, you're actively helping him. He really needs your involvement here. He doesn't need you to choose to blink, you're going to blink anyways. So one way of distinguishing is to say yes. It depends. Totally passive misayeyas, we'll tweak it. Passive or involuntary, right? Or potentially involuntary is really what he's saying, right? Misayeyas are ein bo mamish. Active misayeyas, right, are yesh bo mamish. And the Gemara in Beitza, even though it seems like you're actively doing something, we say, well, it's not really, because blinking is involuntary anyways. So even though, yes, you may have blinked a few seconds earlier than you were going to blink, that's not meaningful halachically, because you had no choice as to blink anyways, and therefore it's as if it's passive, and therefore we would distinguish between active and passive misayas. That's one possibility. Howie, what possibility do you want to raise?
No, passive.
Okay. Now, how else could you distinguish? So another way of distinguishing is just to say, well, there's a difference between... Well, okay, you know what? Before we get to that, Tosas also goes in this direction in a slightly different way. You look at Tosas number 5. Kashalari. Dehacha is leil revzid misayeya ein bo mamish v'chein ravashi besamuch v'perek v'ezid debates. I don't understand. What are we doing? Because here revzid holds misayeya ein bo mamish. And ravashi as well. V'shani le misayeya ein bo mamish. Mashmid revzid ravashi sovrim deyesh bo mamish. Ve'ein lomar daha da amar hacha ein bo mamish lo shipater legamrei. So first he gets into the whole figure, trying to figure out who says what. But he says, so maybe you could say that it's a difference of that maybe all we're saying here is it's usher, but you're not chayav misa or you're not chayav achata. So she'ein bo chiyuv chatas. He can't say that. Daha maisi ravashi davav daso ksheira. Because in the case of the kudshim, he says that your avoda actually works. Mashma dafilu psul drabanan leka, which implies that it's totally right. Misayeya is totally insignificant. Imkain l'nir Shabbos nami nolan sheish boisir drabanan umilur of ashi ikla meimar debaser deshama meimar savra. So he said maybe you could solve some problems by saying Ravashi changed his mind at different points. El Rav Zvid kasha. What are you going to do for Rav Zvid? The iu gufei gamri mishay the ravadein bo mamish va'ameimar avi. Harbe acher Rava, filu acher Rav Papa. Shem Adin Shal Rava, v'shem Basar Meizet Amemer Shem Ruzvij Mishmei the Rava v'lomer Rava Atzma. Or he said a lot of these you could solve by, you know, playing with the names and saying that he held one thing at one point and he changed his mind later. But let's leave that. Then he has another answer. V'od Omer Ri, dehachi parachasam v'haka misayi b'hadei deka amit to pasach v'afal gav nesayi ein bo mamish ba'oma. Islam the Meimar, the Asr Mishum Shrikas Shamimanin, Umishani, De'enu mamesh afilu inyon zeh. So Tosfos says, well, maybe. Right, so sorry, this is not actually in this direction. It's a different Tosfos goes in that direction. This Tosfos says, well, maybe the difference is that really misayaya einu mamish always. Why did the Gemara even have a hava amina of Reb Zvid then misayaya yeshba mamish? Because maybe shlika sammanim is just the super iser. Because as we know, it's an iser that doesn't seem to make sense, right? Kamash malan no misayaya is never mamish. Okay, fine. What's another way of distinguishing? So one way is just saying difference between passive and active. Another way is to say, well, maybe the only Gemara that says explicitly that Misayeya Yesh Bo Mamesh is, on a Doraisa level, is Mako. Right? Mako Daf Chaf. Yeah. So he said the simplest way is just to say...
Is it Paso or something?
Yeah, exactly. That it's Exeris HaKasu. That the rule is Misayeya Ein Bo Mamesh. But Nikaf is unique because the Isser isn't just to do the action, it's to be passively involved in the action, but that's Xeris HaKalsiv. It's the exception to the rule. The rule is Meseye is insignificant. That's the exception. So the Ritva in Shabbos and Makos suggests one of two possibilities. He either suggests what Gershon said, which in number 6, right? And he goes in the same direction as Shittim Kubet said and says, there's different types of Misayaya, right? So in 6, he says, Inami hachami daraisa v'lhasa mechmiru b'yisurim darabanan dilma asi lemevda b'yadayim. So he says, maybe it's a daraisa darabanan distinction, v'hanachon, but the correct answer is, she'en kol misayim shavim. There's different types of Misayaya. Dahasa muchashiv she'esh bo mamish l'rub zvid, b'mshin she'en akichol nasa yavad zula siyua. Hahu damid zu pasach. He said, the reason Reb Zvid in Beitza thought that the opening and closing of your eye is usur, even though Reb Zvid in other places thinks Misayaya is vaday mutter, is because, as we already noted, opening and closing your eye at first glance seems active. Now we conclude lahalacha that it's considered passive. But if you think that Misayaya is usur when it's active and mutter when it's passive, so the reason that In Shabbos, we conclude, according to everybody, that Misayaya ain bo mamish. And in Mako, we conclude that Misayaya yesh bo mamish. And in Beitza, we go through two stages, where first we think that blinking is yesh bo mamish, and then we conclude it's ain bo mamish, is because the basic principle is, if you're really, really involved, you're chayev. If you're not at all involved, you're pater. If you're somewhere in the middle, so we can argue about it. So in Makot, where you're turning your head like this to allow him to cut your hair, so everyone will agree, Misayaya yesh bo mamish. In the case in Shabbos, where one person is really insignificant for carrying this load, we say Misayaya ein bo mamish. It's not only passive, but it's insignificant, right?
But it's pater av aser, no?
It's pater av aser.
Whereas in Beitza...
But that's because it's chole, right? Presumably because it's chole, right?
So maybe there's a difference between...
But he doesn't bring that up. And he says the reason there's a machlokes about the blinking of the eye is because it's a middle case, right? Everyone agrees basically that misayaya is usur if it's too active. The question is, how do you define active passive, or how do you define too involved, not involved enough? So Shita Mikubetze says the distinction is reflex versus action.
Right.
The Ritva says it's a little bit more. Less clear than that. There's a spectrum. There's very involved, sort of involved, not involved at all, right? Very involved is usur, not involved is mutter, sort of involved is subject to machlokes. But if the basic principle seems the same. So that's, right, the Ritva in Shabbos. But in Makos, he says what Gerard said, which is, no, maybe it's Xeris HaKosov. Maybe the rule's always Misayaya Ein Bo Mamesh. It's never a problem. But Makiv Nikav is different.
But the fact that he made his eye available so that it would be reflexive or whatever, is that part of the discussion?
Yes. Okay. So hold that thought. We haven't gotten that yet. Okay. We haven't gotten there yet.
In the case of the passive, does he actually have a requirement to resist? In other words, it's not a question of being passive and allowing to be cut. Does he have a chiyuv not to allow it to be cut.
Right. So far it would sound like
no,
or at least not on the level of liability. On Isser, yes. Right. As Shulchan Aruch says, even if he's totally passive, it's Usser, he's just not liable. Right. He does have a chiyuv to resist.
Okay,
right.
So if he has a, so that makes it a different case than the other one.
Well, we're asking about liability and not iser, right? We're asking about is he chayev, right? But you're right. I mean, it may be that that case is different because of the iser involved. So if you look at this is the Ritva's claim in 7, right? The Ritva says.
I think there are also, and by Nazir and the whole question about.
I didn't put all the sugyas. I put some of the sugyas. There's you know, yesh gvul to this. Okay. Maybe we'll never get out of it. If I.
Across the river, he might not be chayev, but his Messiah is chayev, right?
Yes. Okay. So if you look at the Ritva in the second paragraph here in 7, I'll leave out the first one. He says. Oh, sorry. No, start at the beginning. Amar Rav Chista, man dochel tarbila, tamri barbila. Laki yafe peish rabbeinu meir rezal, da'af rach modesh anikav over belav, u'zachziv lo sakifu. Right? The reason this is different is because there's a gzeiras hakasuv of lo sakifu, which means not just don't cut your hair, but don't have your hair be cut. Right? That's the point. Right? This is why that case is unique. And if you skip to the second paragraph, right, he says, "Misayei of divrei akol perish Rashi zal shemazmin lo saris." It's a case where he offers him his hair. V'igad dekasha lei. Some people ask, "Kadam rinu meseches yom tov." Some people ask. The Gemara in Beitza says, "Linyan mikol kuti the Yisrael be yom tov Yisrael amit tu pasach the misayei ayin bo mamish." The Gemara in Beitza says that helping is insignificant. Lo kasha she'ein kol misayim shavim. So his answer here is like the Shita Mukubet said over there. There's a difference between active and not so active. And here's really helping him. But according to Rabbeinu Meir, it's even more obvious. Then the case of hair cutting, it's unique zeres hakasuv that whether you help or not, it's aser. You only need the helping to allow you to be chayiv and malkus, but as how we noted, it's aser anyways, and that changes the circumstance because he has a chiyuv to resist. It's aser. The mamaisa kol du sagile. So we now have two answers. We have, or two and a half answers, right? We have a series of answers that say misayeya is sometimes mamish and sometimes not mamish, right? Either you divide between active and passive and explain why Beitza is really passive, or you say there's a difference between really, really helping and only sort of helping. So apparently putting your hair out there to help someone cut it is really, really misayeya. And blinking is only sort of misayeya, and helping somebody carry a heavy load who could carry it by himself is not at all misayeya, right? Fine. Or you say that no, misayeya of all sorts is insignificant, but the cutting of the hair is different because there's a special gzeiras hakasuv that even total passivity is considered an action. It's just a technicality. To be chayiv malkus, you need to do something, right? But fundamentally, the reason that case is different is because it's usur not just to shave your peos, it's usur to have your peos cut, right, shaved. And that's why it changes it. Misayeya there takes on a different character because really it's usur to allow yourself to be shaved with no help at all. You only need the help for technicality to connect you to the action to be mechayev you and malkos.
Is that realistic? I mean, is that really the case that if you basically in every, it's not the same with every mitzvah. Like if you don't resist that you're chayiv,
no,
be a bear,
no, right? I mean, there are cases where that's true. Maybe by iser achila for a different reason, right? Because iser achila, the hana of achshav
lekamaisa on Yom Kippur. And
I said Yisur Achila.
Comes to feed.
No, I said Yisur Achila may be different because of Hana Achshav Elamaisa. But I don't know, pick a non-Yisur Achila Yisur. right? Meaning, yeah, if someone takes you if someone takes you and throws you into a light on Shabbos, right? Presumably, there's no way to resist at all, right? You'll be misasik, right? You won't be turning on the light. He's using you to turn on the light. You're passive, right? That's not called an action, right? That's mutar lechatchila, presumably. Right? Tosa says that's true by murder also, right? Or Tosa raises the question, that's true by murder, right? If someone has a gun to your head and says, can I throw you on somebody and kill, you know, use you as a weapon and throw you on, you don't have to give up your life, right? Because you're passive. It's murder. It doesn't matter. You're not doing anything, right? It's probably less than misayeya, but no, passivity is not recognized in halacha.
So if somebody wants to put shatness on you and you don't resist.
So again, anytime you get hana mixed in, hana gets complicated because hana might achshavei like a kamaisa. Yeah, but
so you're coming up with a lot of exceptions to the rule.
There aren't so many exceptions. You're just picking all the hana ones, right? I don't know. What's a non hana based iser? I don't know.
Some tumah or something.
Yeah, tumah maybe.
Well,
but that might also be different.
Too, right?
There are potentially a lot of differences. There are potential. I mean, you're right. There are a lot of exceptions, but there aren't infinite exceptions. Okay, I gave you a little bit of an achar number 8, who tries to flesh out different types of misaya. Yeah, but I'll leave it for the sake of eventually finishing this one day. But there are all types of positions who try to distinguish between different cases. If you look at number 9, for example, the Mishmaras Kahuna says it's Rahloma Dimisayed Agafas Delosos, who Maisa Rabba Yeshmo Mamish, Velodamila Diva Matsniya. He said maybe the reason that the Gemara in Erochin assumes that it's Asr Dimisayeya, at least Dirabanan, is because maybe helping close a door is a big Misayeya, and therefore at least it's Asr Midrabanan, it's worse. Than a regular case of misayeya, which again is going the same direction, that there are different levels of misayeya. There's really bad misayas, and there's medium misayas, and there's not misayas at all, right? So far we've seen, right, two versions of answers, right? A series of different formulations distinguishing between how much are you helping, and then the position of Rabbi Meir quoted in the Ritva, that there's a distinction between makif nikaf on the one hand and everything else on the other hand, because by makif and nikaf, it's an issur to be involved even passively, and that's why misayeya is significant. I'll set up the next one, but we're not going to get into it yet. But just because we already hinted at it, I'll set it up. Is really, we've sort of elided the fact that there's two different ways you could be misayeya, right? So far, we've talked about how much you're involved. But there's another question, which is not how much you're involved, it's when are you involved, right? There's two ways of being involved in misayeya. One is during, and one is before, right? There may be a distinction between them, but kedarko, you know, as often happens in halacha, which one is worse, right? That's not clear. That's machlokas, Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Taz, right? Because on the one hand, you might say that it's worse to be involved during the act because you're actually doing the isser. If you only do it in advance, right, like I sit there and let somebody cut my hair but I don't actually turn my head, that's not as bad. On the other hand, you might say that doing it in advance is worse. Why? Because you're enabling, right? Because you're enabling, right? Doing it at the same time, neither one is doing the act by himself, right? If you do it before, you are doing all the enabling by yourself, and he's doing the whole act of Isser by himself, right? So each one of them is chad letivusa v'chad lereyusa, right? Doing it before, you're enabling all by yourself, but you're not involved in the Isser itself, right? On the other hand, being involved in the malach itself, you are involved in the malach or the Isser, but on the other hand, no single person is doing the malacha alone, and therefore each one of them could be worse than the other, and therefore the Taz and Rabbi Akiva Eiger bring a third type of distinction, which is not as how involved in it, and not the uniqueness of makav and nikav, but the question of when did the siyua take place, but they argue in the opposite directions of which one is worse, right? Is it that misayeh yesh bo mamish in advance, but ain bo mamish during, or is it ain bo mamish in advance, and yesh bo mamish during? We'll come back to that next week. And as we'll see, it's a Rebbe Eger, it's Chazunish, it's a very, very important Machlokas Tazen and Shach. It's just going to be 3 weeks. I'm just going to say it's going to be 3 weeks.
What, I don't know. From experience, if someone puts eye drops in, if you don't blink, they'll just drip off and do nothing. So you're opening your eye, regardless of how they express, eventually you will blink. If you don't open up your eye at the right time, the medication will not be there. So you're
right.
Extremely active.
Okay.
What if the guy opens, the guy holds your eye open?
Right. So then you're
exactly written. What happens whenever I go to the optometrist.
Right.
They open it too much. I just want to pry my eye
right.
open.
Then,
yeah, I know the feeling.
And you've done nothing. You haven't even been
that's a question of
right, unless, and this comes to Rebbe Eger Taz, what if Misayeya is before? And that's exactly where we're going to get to.
Well,
right?
Still have done something.
I mean, you're right.
Are you tied down to the
you're right. The reason to reject the Shittim Gubetzes on that first day in the Ritva is because you're right. Who said? Just it's true that you could blink, but if you blink at the wrong moment, it's irrelevant, right? And that's where you come into the Rebbe Eger Taz Machlokas, which is, okay, but what is Misayeya? Because here, it's true that you needed to keep your eye open before, but once you manage to keep your eye open, you're doing nothing, right? So it's a misayeya before, but it's enabling, right?
What if the enabling
right.
is afterwards? In other words, the guy puts the drops in, but then you...
Right, so that would presumably be during, right? That's called during.
That's
because now
because you're completing the process.
Exactly, because you're doing the... Right, so that's what we'll come to next week, is the possibility of the before-after, but you're right. If you want to reject the Shinu Gubetze, you're going to have to come on to a distinction of before and during, and that's what we'll come to. Like I said, the sugya is very complicated, but whatever.
I've heard some people say that you can...